Now we're going to look at more texts in John 11. This one is the John 11, 17 to 27. And it goes, "When Jesus arrived in Bethany, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, only about 2 miles away. And that's, if you walk out of Jerusalem toward the Mount of Olives, and you walk up the Mount of Olives and go down the other far side, you're in Bethany. And that's what they're saying, it's close. About 2 miles. "Many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them about their brother. Now, when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you.'" Now Jesus begins to challenge her. "Your brother will rise." Martha said, "I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even if he dies physically, he will live." Because faith is that spiritual bond which is eternal and unbreakable unless I break it. So that's why there's so many attacks on believers to give up their faith, either for a better job or just because you get worn down by everybody making fun of you, but somehow to let go of your faith. Don't do it. Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection." Jesus is the resurrection and the life. "He who believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And he who lives and believes in me will never die." Do you believe this? She said, "Yes, Lord. I have come to believe that you are the Christ, that is, you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world. So whatever you say is true, and I believe you." Now let's take a moment. You've just heard that text. Now, do you believe it? You know, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And he who lives and believes in me will never die." Do you believe that? And do you believe? You see, it says here, "He who believes in me, even if he dies." How many times a week do you pray? How many times a day do you seek to be in touch with Jesus? What does it mean to believe in Jesus? To say, "I'm a Catholic," and then don't do anything? No, this is literally life and death. And that's why he's saying, "He who believes." But what you can do is go to the Lord and say, "Lord, I'm finally getting scared. I finally realize that I'm just going through the root of the, you know, I'm a Catholic, and I go to Mass, and I, you know, give in my collection, and I send my kids to Catholic schools." But do you believe? Can you commit your life to the fact that Jesus Christ is the living, eternal Son of God, and that he is the resurrection and the life, and that we are going to live from him and by him for all eternity? That's what these texts are challenging us. And since they're read, you know, at funerals and times like this, it's a great chance to stop and say, "One of these days, I'm going to be right there where Joe is now, lying in a coffin, dead. And people are preparing to treat my body with respect and to bury it in the ground. But where am I? And what shape am I in?" You see, we're given life so that we can receive life and share life. And are we doing that? And that's the power of this text, for us when we hear it, for us when we preach it. "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And he who lives and believes in me will never die." Do you believe that? She said, "Yes, Lord." Can we say, "Yes, Lord"? We follow Niall in this talk, which is the 11th in the series from the Gospels. Is John 11:32-45. That is, with the exception of the skipping of just a few verses, we're still following John 11. Now, when Mary, the sister of Lazarus, came to where Jesus was, she came out to where he was, and he was by the tomb. She fell at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her weeping, he became perturbed and deeply troubled, and said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Sir," Kyrie, Lord, "come and see." And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." Some of them said, "Could not the one who opened the eyes of the blind man have done something so this man would not have died?" Yes. Do you catch a glimpse of something in that text? Jesus, the Lord, the master of life and death, who's going to raise that man, weeps at the sight of what sin and our sinful world does to people. It kills them. We all die. And it so moves Jesus, because this is a man he loves a lot, he weeps. The Son of God, instead of saying, "Don't worry, I got everything under control, I'm going to raise him from the dead." No, he's so impacted by the power of evil to kill this man, along with everybody else, you know. He weeps at the sign, you know, of death. You know, the man's dead, and he weeps. Think of that. So, if someone at a funeral is weeping, don't bother them. Let them weep. Maybe it's superficial emotion, maybe it's fear for their own death, or maybe it might be those things, but deeper than that, an understanding of the fragility and the temporary nature of our very existence on earth. And Jesus weeps, you see. "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Sir, Kyrie, come and see." And Jesus wept. "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not the one who opened the eyes of the blind man have done something, so this man would not have died?" And the translation goes on then, "So Jesus, perturbed again," you see, "came to the tomb." It was a cave. It was a cave. I don't have time to explain. It's hollowed out in the rock, and there's an entrance to the cave. And on the ground, there's a rock place, and the big round stone is rolled over that and then sealed with wax. And so he's standing right there now. It was a cave, and a stone lay across it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Unroll that stone. Martha, the dead man's sister, said to him, "Lord, by now there will be a stench. He's been dead for 4 days, and that's when the body begins to corrupt." Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" The glory of God is always life. You remember that beautiful statement of St. Irenaeus? The glory of God is a man alive. Alive! So they took away the stone, and then Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you for hearing me." He's weeping. He's praying to the Father. Can you see how he's so profoundly human? And when he had said this, he cried out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man came out, tied hand and foot with burial bands, and his face was wrapped in a cloth. And Jesus said to the crowd, "Untie him and let him go." Now many of the Jews who had come to Mary and seen what he had done began to believe in him. This must be somebody. You know, they say he's the Son of God. It's probably the truth. And they begin to move in their spirit toward him. Amen. We're going to do the last of the readings now for All Souls Day, the last of the Gospel readings. This one is from John again, chapter 14, 1 to 6, where God's will is revealed through Jesus. Jesus said to his disciples, now remember we're in chapter 14, so chapter 13 is the washing of the disciples' feet. We're already at the Last Supper, and now Jesus begins to speak. 14, 15, 16, and then 17, the high priest prayer. So we have this text for now, for All Souls Day. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You have faith in God, have faith also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If there were not, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you also may be. Now, listen to that, to his heart there. The last text we had, Lazarus is dead and Jesus is weeping. The affection he has for us, for Lazarus, but for us. So now he's saying, you see, I will come back and take you to myself, so that where I am, you also may be for all eternity. I want to be with you. I want you to be with me. That's the promise. You see, we can help people live a life that's closer to Christ by letting them know how much he loves us, loves them, with a divine affection. You see? So that where I am, you also may be. And where I'm going, you know the way. And Thomas said, Master, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? And now we have this famous line, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. So if we're close to Jesus, we have close access to the Father. And that's why he's always telling us, you are my disciples if you do what I tell you. And I can bring you to the Father, not only now, but forever. In fact, he's finally going to say, perhaps by chapter 14, no, he'll say it a little later, Philip, don't you get it? If you see me, you see the Father. Don't you understand? And so, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. This is a text we're using to meditate and confront the specter of death. If I go, I'm going to get a place for you, you see? And then I'll come back and I'll take you to myself. What a promise. What love. Does he love like that? My gosh, we just saw him weep over Lazarus, even though he knew he was going to raise him. That's the way he loves us. With that kind of love, firmness, affection, commitment. And so he's saying here, I'll come back again and I'll take you to myself, so that where I am, you also may be. That's a promise. If we'll try to serve him in this life, try to stay away from sin, do the things he tells us to do, serve the poor, preach the gospel, be faithful to our spouses if we're married, raise the children the right way, and if we'll stay in touch with him through prayer, I'm telling you, you see, I will take you to myself, because I am the way. I am the truth. I am the manifestation of reality, and I'm the life. If you are close to me, you are alive, and no one can take that life from you, and no one comes to the Father except through me. So come to me and let me win you over. Let me teach you how to pray every day. Let me teach you how to obey my Holy Spirit, so that I can, take you. No one comes to the Father except through me. So come and let me take you to the Father. I love you. I want to be with you for eternity. Amen.